And there's a doctrine out there that I want to talk to you about today. And that is really the doctrine that there's no hell. Now, you say, well, just because you used to be a Baptist, you still believe in hell. Well, that ain't got anything to do with it. I believe in hell because the Bible says there's a hell. I believe that the King James Bible uses the word hell. It's an English word. And I don't have and I don't know anything about Greek or Hebrew. I'm dumb on that. I can look it up like anybody else can. But let me give you a clue. If you look it up in a Greek lexicon, there's three meanings of everything in that lexicon on every word in there. The problem you have is, and I have, is that if you don't understand context of Greek and Hebrew writings, well, what happens? You don't know which one of them to choose. So what happens? Well, you choose the one that's closer to what you think it is. You can't tell me that people today have a better understanding of Greek and Hebrew than the guys that translated this King James Bible. I don't believe that. Amen. You can believe that if you want to, but I don't. Most of those guys can't, even the professors in the colleges today, you know what? They can't speak or write Hebrew or Greek in a third grade level. And that's the God's truth. But yet they can turn around and write a Bible and tell you what it means. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes about leading captivity captive. Now, many of you here don't know anything about the different kinds of beliefs in dispensationalism. Many of you don't know. And I wished I didn't know. If I didn't know, then I'd be a lot better off than what I did. But it comes up all the time. And you've got three ways of looking at the Scripture. The church started in Acts 2. Or the church started in Acts 9 with the Apostle Paul. Or it started in Acts 28. Now, there's some of them that believe the church started in Acts 13. But if you look at those four or five positions, the Acts 28 position is the most dangerous to me. Now, I believe that the church started with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. I believe that. But if you believe that church started in Acts 28, then you got to do away with six books that Paul wrote. And I can't do that. I can't get away with them. They say that that's for our learning, but don't apply to you. And they say that the books Paul wrote in Acts during the Acts period, that he was dealing with the Jew first, and that's true. But it doesn't mean that the Gentile can't get saved. In fact, let me say this. If they take away 1 Corinthians 15 from me, well, I lost the gospel that saved me. Do you realize that? Because 1 Corinthians 15 tells you the gospel that saves you today. In Ephesians chapter 4. Now here's what I'm going to deal with this morning. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about leading captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it that he... That he also descended first in the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Or right away, what is captivity captive? Who did he lead out of captivity? Who did he lead out of captivity? See, that's the question. Now, what a lot of them teach today is that when he come to the lower part of the earth, that he's talking about coming to the earth and dealing with the Gentiles. I don't believe that. Now, you might, but I don't. It says the lower part of the earth. Well, where in the world is the lower part of the earth? Is it Maryville, Tennessee? We're pretty raunchy. But it's not the lower part of the earth, is it? It says very plainly that he descended before he ascended. Does it not? And it also says he led captivity captive. Well, who's he talking about? Well, let's look at what Peter deals with this a little bit. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. When did he go preach to the spirits in prison? You see, this thing I'm bringing up to you today, if we know that there's denominations out there that preach there's no hell, and what they got to do, what do they got to do, number one thing? Number one thing, they got to make Luke 16 a what? A parable. I don't believe Luke 16 is a parable. Now, you might believe it is, but I don't. And there's some reasons why I don't. And one of them is that in Luke 16, he doesn't say it's a parable to start with. You say, well, he don't have to. Well, why would he say it someplace and not say it another? In Luke 16, there's three people. There was a rich man, a certain rich man, not just any rich man. There was a beggar, and his name was what? Lazarus. And then there was Abraham. Well, one word they get, you don't see Abraham ever used in your Bible as a parable. You don't see that. He names three people. Let's look at Luke 16. See, you got to do away with this. Do you know any other denomination that does away with Luke 16 and make it a parable? What about them people that come around and knock on your door? Huh? Well, I talked to some of the Acts 28 people. They said, well, at least they got something right. I mean, what kind of answer is that? Luke 16. There was a certain rich man, verse 19, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. Now look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, see right away, the argument they use is that in hell this guy can see, he can talk. They said, that can't be. But see, that Bible says that he was in torment. Well, how in the world can you be in torment if you can't feel nothing? And when they use this verse and get rid of it altogether, and they're going to tell you that hell is a grave. And you know what that does to you too? That does away with when you die, you just go and lay in the grave until Jesus appears. Now, if you all believe that, well, then you... What does Ecclesiastes say over there? I'll give you something over there. It says that the spirit of a beast returns to the ground. Your dog and cat ain't going nowhere. Now, don't get mad at me, but that's what the book says. Amen. Now, you know, I got a dog I care a lot about. But I know when she dies, she ain't going nowhere. But it also says over in Ecclesiastes that the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, if the spirit returns to God to give it, then it's not laying in the ground, is it? Does that make sense to you all? So Luke 16, you got three people. One of them goes over to Abraham's bosom. The other one goes to the torment side. By the way, there was a place in the center of the earth that was called hell. I don't call it Hades because I'm an Englishman. I call it hell. Nobody ever told me to go to Hades. There's a lot of people told me to go somewhere else. But they never told me to go to Hades. Anybody ever told you to go to Hades? Hey, that English word hell means something. It means something that's not good. It means a place of torment. That's what it means. Look at Matthew chapter 12. And verse number 40. Look at verse 39. Here the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him and they want to see a sign. And he says in verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Do you ever wonder about what kind of fish that was? King James Bible says a whale. That ought to settle it. You hear all kind of arguments. They want to argue about how many angels you can get on a pinhead. You ever hear that? For Jonah 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What I'm telling you is that Ephesians chapter 4, when he went into the lower part of the earth, he's talking about that right there. He said that the Son of Man was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And you can't get away from that. You say, well, did Jesus go to hell? No, he didn't go to hell. He went to a compartment called hell that had two compartments. And according to Luke 16, it was separated by a great gulf. One was a torment side, and the other was called Abraham's bosom. And what did he tell the thief on the cross? What did he tell that old boy? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, it's also called paradise. That's where all the Old Testament... Why was all the Old Testament in prison waiting for? What was they waiting for? See, the Old Testament saints, when they died, they did not go to heaven. You say, well, what about Enoch? He walked with God and God took him. Well, where did he take him to?
Abraham's bosom.
There you go. Took him to Abraham's bosom. You know what had to happen before anyone could go to heaven? Christ had to go up first. You see what I mean? Well, you say, what about Elijah? He was caught up in the chariot of fire. Where did he go? Well, he went to Abraham's bosom where he went. Didn't go to heaven. Jesus Christ had to be the first one. They had a place that they were placed until a perfect sacrifice had been made. And Jesus Christ, when he was buried, he went into the heart of the earth and he preached to those guys in Abraham's bosom. And basically what he told them was, a perfect sacrifice had been made. They couldn't come out of there until he arose. You can forget Luke 16, and the Bible tells you that there's a hell. You don't even have to use Luke 16. Look at Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, there is three verses that are identical. You all know that? You don't find any other chapter in that Bible that has verses exactly alike. A chapter I'm talking about. Do you all know that there's two chapters in the Bible that's identical? Word for word. And it's not just one little verse. It's the whole chapter. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 46. So look at 44. For their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 46. For their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48. For their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Well, what in the world is he talking about when he says their worm dies not? So look at Psalms 22 and verse 6. Psalms 22:6. But I am a worm, said David, and no man a reproach of men and despiser of the people. David said, I'm a worm. Look at Isaiah 66 and verse 24. Yeah, the last chapter and the last verse in the book of Isaiah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Look at what this says. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be born unto all flesh. What's Isaiah talking about in Isaiah 66? He's talking about the tribulation period. Isaiah is a picture of the tribulation period. In fact, that's what he's talking about here. You got some guys laying out there that's been killed, and he said their worm don't die. But they're going to be cast into hell. What I'm telling you is the only thing I can make out of this, what this worm means, is the fact that it's your soul. And I believe that's what he's talking about. Where the worm dies not. Well, let me give you a thought on that worm thing. When we die, we're going to ascend into the heavens. We're going to be with the Lord. One day He's coming back. He's going to appear in the sky. This is not a coming, it's an appearing. And we're going to meet Him in the air. What's going to happen then? Well, number one thing, you're going to stand in the judgment seat. And after the judgment seat, you're going to receive a glorified body, right? You're going to receive one, Philippians 3:21. You're going to receive one fashion like unto His glorious body, right? Well, when a man dies and goes to hell, would it not make sense to you that your body is going to look like your father's body? Huh? Makes sense to me. I believe when a person goes to hell, that's what he's going to look like. Like his father, the devil. By the way, what was he called over in Genesis 1, 2? The serpent. Kind of like a worm. Maybe that's not true. I don't know. Look at Matthew 5:29. Here's a good doctrine for you. In the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ tells you that in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that hell is going to be opened up. It's going to be opened up, and you can see the smoke of their torment. In Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. Oh, brother, that don't mean that. That just means you got to be willing to do that. He didn't say you got to be willing, did he? He said if it offends you, pluck it out. If that was written to us today, well, we'd be walking around blind, would we not?
Amen.
I know I would. I'd have to have help getting in there. But I couldn't find nobody to lead me in. For it is proper for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Do you see that? In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, if you mess up over there, you know what they're going to do to you? They're going to grab you, body, soul, and spirit, and cast you in that pit. And everybody can see it. And the smoke of their torment ascends up. And that's the God's truth.
But they won't have the devil here to tempt them, will
they? No, they won't have the devil. They've got Jesus Christ. You know what? In the millennial reign, Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, everybody can see Him. You don't need no faith over there. But you're still under the law of God over there. And if you mess up over there, you got no excuse. And if you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and you know who that's talking to and what he's talking about, well, you can understand what's going on over there. Those verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not written to you for doctrine at all. If it was, the eye's got to come out. And by the way, if those verses were to you, we'd rode down here on a horse. Might have had to walk. Because he said, give up everything, come and follow me. That's the only way you could get into this kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 51. In Matthew 24, he's talking about one to fill, one taken, one left. He's also talking about going into the kingdom. We know that's not the rapture. We know that. The guy that's taken is taken to hell, and the guy that's left goes into the kingdom. Look at verse number 51. Here's the guy that's taken. Shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sorry, people, but you can't go in the grave and do that. But you can go to hell and do that. You can go to hell and do that. Look at Matthew 25. Look at 41. Now, this is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and he sets the nations, the ones that helped the Lord, helped the nation of Israel during that tribulation period, he sets them on the right. The ones that didn't, he sets on the left. The ones that he sets on the right, he takes them into the kingdom, Gentile nations. But the ones on the left, here's what he does with them. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, people, you can believe what you want to, but if there's no hell, there's no everlasting fire. Now, he is not talking about, at the judgment of the nations, he is not talking about throwing them into the lake of fire, is he? No, he's not talking about that at all. This is at the beginning of the millennial reign. That's what he's talking about. Now, if you want to know about that place, in Revelation 20, look at verse 13. Here you got the white throne judgment. People in hell are brought up and they are judged. Now here's another doctrine that they teach, that when you get thrown in the lake of fire, you burn up. Just like that, you're gone. That's not true. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up them which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's when they get to stand. That's when the people that's in hell right now, that's when they get brought up. And when they get brought up, they stand before a judgment seat, and Jesus Christ throws them in a lake of fire. And by the way, it's eternal. Let me give you a verse on that. Look at 19, Revelation 19. You all know who the first two people are that go into the lake of fire? That's right. False prophet and Antichrist. I think old Ados is probably down in a bad place right now. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So before the 1,000 years start, the false prophet and the Antichrist are cast into the lake of fire. Well, look over at how long are you going to be there? Well, 1,000 years later, the devil gets cast in. 1,000 years later, and it says in verse 10 of chapter 20, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. See that? Where are they at? They're still in the lake of fire, are they not? And shall be tormented day and night for how long? Well, that's where hell is going to wind up.
And the devil's going to be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years.
Yeah, he's in 1,000 years, but he's let loose at the end of 1,000 years. So my message this morning is that, and I'll tell you what I believe. You don't have to believe what I believe. You take that Bible and check it out. And if it tells you what it tells you, then you make up your own mind. See, I'm no authority on anything. But that book there is the only authority you got. The church is not your authority. I don't care if you belong to the first church. That preacher don't have the authority over you. That book does. So you take that book and you study it like Paul says and rightly divide it, and he'll tell you the truth. The only thing I do is stand up here and tell you what I think it says. The Bible's not hard to read, is it? I don't understand people can take a newspaper and they can read it and they can believe every word in it, but they take the Bible and read it and say it don't really say that. It's not hard to understand, it's hard to believe. And I believe that there's a hell, and I believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, his body was in the tomb and his soul and spirit went into the paradise side of hell, and he preached to those guys, and when he arose, they arose. And when he ascended, they ascended. That's what I believe. By the way, when's them old boys coming back? Well, they're coming back when the Lord does. You want to know who's going to be on a white horse? It's not you. I know Sam back there likes horses, but he ain't going to be on no horse. Somebody asked me up at the Bible study the other night, where's Abraham? And I said, he's saddling his horse. Well, Abraham's got a promise, ain't he? What promise do you have? Said, I'll give you the land. Job said, in my flesh I shall see God. Well, how's he going to do that unless he's born again? You see what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's talking about? They're talking about this kingdom over here. We're in that kingdom. We're in a mystery program that's been revealed to us today. By the way, you can read your newspaper in the morning. It's going to tell you all the bad things happening about the fighting in Iraq and Iran and all over the world, Afghanistan and all that. It ain't got a thing in the world to do with prophecy in this book. They can drop a bomb on us tomorrow. It ain't got anything to do with that book. You know how I know that? Because I'm still here. It ain't going to happen until we're gone. If it is, then you got big problems there. You better go home and start getting enough stuff to last 7 years. And the way me and Bobby eat, we ain't going to make it. Yeah, I'd have it eat up in 6 months, probably shorter than that. There is a hell, people. If there's no hell, then there's no heaven. If there's no hell, you know what I'd do? I'd say the Bible's a lie. Forget about it. Don't mean nothing. Okay. Jesus talked quite a bit about hell, didn't he? Sure did. He's not talking about a grave. This idea of the grave being hell is just not true. Either when you die and your spirit and soul leaves this body, you're going to live eternity somewhere. And the only way you can get into God's heaven today is one way. And that's to believe and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He died for your sins. And He was buried and took your sins away. By the way, where in the world did He take your sins to? You ever wonder about that part of the gospel? Well, if you read over in Genesis, you'll find out that when they buried Rachel over there, I believe it was Rachel, might have been Sarah, they buried her out of His sight. You know why you get buried today? Because people don't want to look at you anymore. You're buried out of everybody's sight. And when He was buried, He took our sins away. And He rose again the third day for our justification. Romans 4:25. I can stand just before God for one reason. And that's because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to me. And no other reason. But if you reject that gospel, you're going to go to hell. Plain and simple.
Amen.
Okay, thank you for your attention.
Yeah.